You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do just that. Thank you. Spirit of God, your word, your saving grace, because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So exercise your wonderful grace and mercy. Here we are. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of Sunday school, that's a big help. It should have been a big help as we go to this. In the light of Hebrews, seated God in his wonderful, wonderful person. God the Son has done something awesome to glorify his awesome person. And that's happening. God is delighted in doing it. God is delighted to have done it. God is delighted. It's us humans that haven't caught on. So, here in John chapter 16, adding and relating directly to that in God's grace, remember now, the believer in this age of grace has the advantage. Abraham doesn't have it, and Isaiah doesn't have it, and etc. John the Baptist doesn't have it, and the millennial believers don't have it. Just the church age. To be able to demonstrate, and to be able to demonstrate the grace of God now, grace means God has to do the whole thing, or it won't work. We're saved by grace. God is going to demonstrate in all of eternity his grace in a particular way. How is he going to demonstrate it? In the believers, this age, this church, body, the body of believers right now on planet Earth in this age of grace are going to demonstrate to Israel, to Abraham, to all of them. We're going to demonstrate being seated in his wonderful Son. We're going to be seated. For what reason are we there? Others aren't there. You're going to be there if you're saved. Why? To demonstrate, to show in particular the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving a whosoever that believes. That's what God's going to do. It's a special place. It's special to God. Oh, humans don't get it like they could. But it is to God. So now, add to that, John chapter 16. And you're going to recall there in the upper room, and they are very sad and lamenting and sorrowful because he's going to go to the cross. And he agrees with them, chapter 16 and verse 22. And you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So God encourages them. They're going to go through an awful time, as we shared last time, a difficult time. They're going to see him not only carrying the cross and bloody and battered, they're going to see him like that. They're going to see a horrible thing. And then to go and see in some form at some distance the crucifixion. Not even Romans would get crucified, they're citizens. But bad guys get crucified, a horrible death. They're going to see that. And it's going to be, they think they're, if they're sad now in the upper room because he's going to go out and to trial and crucifixion, what happens when the crucifixion comes? God said, verse 22, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. When you see me next time, I will be different. When you see me next time, I will be different. Now, having said that, and no man is going to be able to take away, the verb to take away, to remove. No one's going to be able to take away and remove from you that wonderful experience, that wonderful joy, that wonderful relationship. No one's going to be able to do that. The joy, you rejoice in the Lord. All it's something, I'm going to give you something. Look, you'll see it. John chapter 15, a close by point. 15 verse 12, excuse me, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you. My joy, his joy, delighted to go to the cross, counting it his joy to go to the cross, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full because you're enjoying my joy. So God is going to give them a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way. And in verse 23, in that day, not now, you're going to be very sad and mad, etc., bitter, but you're going to come after my crucifixion, resurrection. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. You're not going to ask me anything in that day. Now, you need to remember, keep in mind, the word A-S-K, ask, has to do with asking a question, asking for information. Ask a question for information. You're not going to do that ever again. So let's see when they did it. Look with me over, please, first chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, please, you'll catch it, Peter. Simon, chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. They're asking a question, where? I want to know where you're going. Chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? We don't know the way. Verse 8, Philip. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. So, no more questions. You won't ask me such questions again. I'm telling you, you'll never do this again. You won't have to do this again. It's all over. That's the got the ask, A-S-K. You can't ask me any more questions. Which you didn't even get an answer often. You didn't even ask the question. Chapter 16. And in chapter 16, verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Nothing. You're not going to do that again. Verily, verily, though, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, most assuredly, I am saying to you, most confidently, I'm saying to you, whatsoever you shall ask, that's a different word, A-S-K. It means to the act of a will to desire something. You desire, I choose, I want, I desire, underline that word, desire, ask, desire. You want, you will. Desire of your will. Whatever you ask, whatsoever you shall ask, the Father in my name, that in my name, he will give it to you. Not only will he give it to you, let me slide down, jump ahead, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So the end of verse 23, you ask, what's the condition? You ask in my name, in Jesus' name. That's what we did in Sunday school. You got to get that to get the other. Puts it together. Now, you ask in my name, and I'm going to give it to you. Come down to verse 24. I'm going to go, and you ask in my name, and you'll receive it. I'm going to give it. You're going to receive. You're going to get it and receive it. So it isn't something, it isn't an empty request. It isn't to go nowhere. On the contrary, you ask whatever in my name, and you have it for sure. That's what he said. Now, not asking anymore for the other. We don't do that. No, that you don't need to do that. That's what the Spirit of God has done. The Spirit of God is going to bring you into all truth, as we shared last time. That's how we get the Gospels. That's how we get the New Testament epistles. That's how we get the book of Revelation. How do we finish it off? God did. God, the Holy Spirit, did that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, asking, very, very, asking in some desire of the will. The Father in my name, he will give it to you, and you will receive it. Hitherto, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Up to this point, you never asked anything in my name. Whenever you wanted something or needed something, you asked me directly, he said. Here I am, he said, and you asked me directly. You never talked to my Father. You never talked to my Father. You only talked to me. That's all you did. And I gave you, you never went hungry to starve. You never had to worry about paying the taxes. You never had to worry about anything. You never had to worry about getting sick. I took care of you for 3 1/3 years. That's what I did. And you never had to ask anybody. Verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. To have a relationship, to enjoy what? Enjoy what God is doing. That's, again, we mentioned Sunday school and that. God is doing what? As the artist, the designer, the architect, has an awesome plan, an awesome, wonderful thing he's doing. And he's delighted. Back to the painting, using an artist. Here's the painter with a brush, putting the strokes on the canvas, doing it. And putting the strokes on the canvas and this and a little bit over here and does all these different things. Big thing over here. Wow, big thing. Now the painting is just the canvas. And the strokes of all the pieces that are going are just pieces. But the artist, every time, for every stroke, for every little dab to put a little leaf on a tree, for everything, the artist has the whole picture. And even though it's just a little dot on the painting, the artist sees the whole thing. God sees the whole thing. We don't see the whole thing. We just see a moment, and we're trying to struggle through today to get to tomorrow. Who knows? That's all we're doing. We're trying to get there. That's what we're trying to do. So that's all we do. And we're up and down. But God sees the whole thing. So whenever these truths we're looking at for the believing heart, God is delighted in what he's doing, the painting. Here's Sunday afternoon for you right here, little dot. Here's Monday morning for you right over here. And then here's Tuesday. But all we're looking at is Sunday afternoon. But God has all those dots. And we only have this. So we try to get through it, you know. Hope it doesn't snow. Whatever. Wow. So God, what are you doing? You're delighted. I need to understand that. So when I get down in the dumps and do stupid dumb things, et cetera, et cetera. I need to recover from that. I'm not going to recover if I keep doing it in my mind. I need to understand, hold it, God, you want, it's just a little stroke. And I need to see that, back off, so I can get educated and learn. Otherwise, I won't. And I need to learn. So therefore, looking, God, in the light of everything, all these things are happening, and God, we can look to you and your joy, because God is, why is your joy to be full? God isn't the stroke using the pen of the painting. The thing that God just did on Sunday afternoon belongs to all the other things. And he's delighted in what he sees and what he's doing. All we do is have the little stroke. We can't know where else to go. But God sees it. He's a delight. He's delighted. We're sad. How could God make that crooked thing? How can that thing in the painting? It doesn't look like anything. Wow. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working, we're to go and hitherto, so our joy, that our joy may be full. Be wonderfully, wonderfully full. These things, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, allegories, ways to show things by illustration, etc., to illustrate things. These things have I spoken unto you, and God used all kinds of illustrations all the time. I am the gate, I am the door, all kinds of ways. Try to help you. Try to help you understand something, you see. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. I'm going to show you plainly of the Father. Plainly means open, open, easy to see, open, plainly. You can't miss it. There's no guessing. It's the number 10, 10, make believe. And 10 means 10. You don't have to guess. I didn't have a building up. I just wrote 10. 10 means 10. Plain, simple. Like growing up, when the little children are growing up, and the old children should have grown up, when we get there, what are you? And we say to the child, no, but the child learns no before we do almost. And they say no, you say. Well, no means no, right? You don't have to argue about it. No means no. Yes means yes. So you don't have to think about it, it's just easy. So God, you're gonna make it plain. I am. Make it plain. The Spirit of God isn't going to give you a way out all of twisting and having to wander all over trying to figure it out. The Spirit of God's going to do something wonderful because you're going to ask. How is ask going to make it so wonderful? Hang on. So therefore, picking up that in mind, and you're going to ask the Father, and God, you're going to give the wonderful explanation. You're going to ask the Father in my name, and I'm going to give it to you plainly. And thus in the process, and it's going to be about the Father. So I'm going to help you. I'm going back up to verse 25, and plainly of the Father. And the little preposition of, just think of a circle, and in the middle of this, I'll do the glass. The water is in the glass. We're all around it like this, looking at it all around like this. The water's in the glass. That's the word, preposition. In, the Father. Who's in the glass? Who are we looking at? The Father. We're looking at the Father. Well, no matter how we look, it's the Father. Who's the center? Who's standing out? The Father is. We're going to see the Father. That's what we're going to do. That's the preposition. If I can, in verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father, for I will pray the Father that I for you. I'm not going to pray the Father for you. You don't have to come to me like the statues way back in the early church, the Roman, Eastern, Western church. And they had all the images of all the different ones to turn, like the idolaters, all the different gods, different ways. And you look at the gods all around on the wall, etc. And you, in front of you, here's the gods. Well, then they had to put up, you know, we got to look to Mary, we got to look to all these different things. There's no mediator between God and man except Christ Jesus. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, straightway. There's no other way. You can't. How am I going to see? Through the Son. How am I going to discover my wonderful reason for being alive? Through the Son. Now, having said that, verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. I say unto you, I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. Now the Father loves you. Over to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and you'll pick up the little word. It has to do with a parental love, a father, children, affectionate love. It isn't the same as the other love, agape. It isn't that. It's phileo, God, family, Philadelphia kind of love. Philadelphia kind of love. That kind of love, Philadelphia. We love family. My Father will love you. We're family. Hang on to family. Chapter 5, picking up, please, you'll see the verb. If I can, in verse 20. The Father loveth, Father, parental love, kind of thing. The Father, affection. The Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. For he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. So, that you may marvel. So now, here, that's the Father. The Father, the word is used, of a God. And back over to chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you. He's loving you. Parental love. Father loves children. Parents love children. You got it. That's why he uses it. The Father loves us. Your son. Your children. Now, I'll pray the Father in his name. Now, God, you're going to do all of these wonderful things. And God's going to go and make it very clear. You're going to come to the Father. You're going to come to the Father in my name. That's what you're going to do. So therefore, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you're going to go to the Father in my name, and understanding that. So, over, if I can now, in the light of that, put that together. God, we're going to go and look. Now, what is there? You got to ask the question, and what's he saying? Verse 22, 23, 24 to 27. What is he saying? Something wonderful is going to happen, that you're going to be terribly, terribly distraught, lamenting, and sad. But something so wonderful is going to happen that it will change you. 180 degrees, you'll swing completely around. That's what you're going to do. Something wonderful is going to happen. You have me, our Lord said. You can't ask me any more questions. And you're not going to go and come to me to ask the Father. Jesus, will you ask the Father for me? You aren't going to do that. No media. I'm not that. No, I'm not. Nope. I did something more wonderful than you can imagine. The impossible to become very possible. Impossible to become possible. Yes. Awesome. That's what we hit in Sunday school. Here it is again. Wow. Now, so, God, what did you do? You're going to go, and you're going to go to the Father. You're not going to go to me. How are you going to get to the Father? In my name. In my name. Because of who I am. You are going to receive me as your Savior and Lord in your heart, and I'm going to go, and you're going to take my wonderful being, because I bring to you God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm going to bring to you the full, wonderful essence and nature and being of God. He was born in Bethlehem, and he was to be labeled Jesus because he's the only Savior. Emmanuel, he's the only God. When you receive me as your Savior, which you can't do, it's going to take Acts chapter 2. Go over with me there for a minute. You have to wait. You can't jump ahead. It isn't going to happen. Until what? Until the Spirit of God takes over. And up to then, all you can do is wait and trust me. And so when you come to Acts chapter 2, I'll read the event. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, as like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other languages and tongues which they never knew, so that all of the people that are outside that building, outside, are going to hear them, and they're coming for the Feast of Pentecost. They're coming from all the different dialects from Egypt and Ethiopia and coming, and they're going to hear the wonderful works of God, the wonderful glory of God, his wonderful word in their own language. That's what was marvelous. Everyone that listened heard them distinctly in their own language, in the midst of that crowd. That's awesome. Now, our tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance, as Spirit gave them utterance. So that's a wonderful, 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 wonderful event. Now, God, when that happened, they were told what would happen. Now, we read chapter 2 of Acts 1, 2, and 3, and 4. What happened on that day? Back over to John 16. What happened? God's going to tell you what happens on that day. 22 to 27. I'm going to tell you what happens. And you will know, please, in chapter 22, we read it. You're going to ask in my name. You're never going to ask any more of me. You're going to ask in my name. That's what you're going to do. You have a unique relationship to the Father. How so? You are a son in the Son. God makes us his children, parents. The Father loves us, verse 27. The Father, parental love, the Father loves us. So we come to the Father who loves us. We don't have to go around to some other person in some other way to get to the Father. We can go straightway. You're going to be able to go straightway to the Father who loves you. He's your Father. That's why the Spirit of God, Galatians 4 and Romans 8, is going to say what? On a continued basis, present tense, Abba, Father. Why, Spirit of God, why? That must never forget. God has made something wonderful real to you, for you. He's your Father. Your Father in heaven. He's your Father, period. I had a father. You all have fathers. But the Father's gone. He's the Father. He's the Father. And you have to be careful, don't you? Because if your father was a drunkard or some other problems, that's a man, a father. So your image of a father is not very good. And when you speak of God as Father, where are you coming from? You're coming from that concept of Father. And unless you fix it, God's never going to be the Father because you didn't adjust. He isn't your Father, He's the Father. And you have a whole new world. So you have to be careful you don't take, people keep promises, God can't, but God doesn't keep promises like us do. We people do. God doesn't love like us. God doesn't think like us. God isn't us. We have to be careful. So we shrink God down to be man-sized so we can live with him. And he isn't. That's why if any man love father, mother more than me, what? He cannot be my disciple. I'm not like anybody. So when you start doing that, he said, forget it. You aren't going to be my disciple. You aren't in the place to be. There's only one God and Savior, that's him. And you trust him. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, God's going to glorify himself in a most wonderful way. And he's going to take and your sorrow, your terrible, terrible sorrow that they're going to face in chapter John 16 is going to be turned to a wonderful, wonderful joy, a wonder of all wonders. What's going to happen, wonder of all wonders? God, the Holy Spirit, is going to go and come into your life. You haven't had this yet, but you're going to have it. And the Spirit of God is going to go and bring to you all the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to bring the reality of God in Christ as the Son. He's the Son. Pray in his name. You're going to come. And he's the head. Otherwise, he's the head elsewhere. We're the body. The body doesn't go around and say, hand, shake hands or whatever we do. The hand is representing the head. The foot is representing the head. In his name. It isn't in our name. It isn't about us. It's not about us at all. It's about him. What are we doing? We're showing the Son in my name. Pray in my name to the Father. Not in your name. In his name. Who do you represent? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our Savior. And we represent him. So he doesn't, God, I'm going to ask you. Well, God, what am I going to get? Well, I'm not going to ask. You said, whatever I ask. Hang on, we're going to do it. Whatever, I'll do it. That's awesome. Consistent. We read it. The verb, I'm going to give it, and you're going to receive it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give and receive. You're going to receive. It's a real thing. Well, why don't I understand it? Because I'm back with a painting. Dabs in this and trying to figure out why is my life like this. And a little more, it'll get better. And maybe it'll get better and better. But I don't see it getting better. Now that, we'll do that for tonight. Anyway. How do you see your life getting better? Is that all right? I would stop here and we'll take it. Tell me about how your life's going to get better. Find me anywhere. I don't care where you go. Your life getting better. Well, I could retire. You think that's better? Retirement is bad news because that means you're getting older. And you'll have to join in the unemployed and get thousands of dollars in pay, you see. Wow. We're going to get better. Really? Come on. No one's going to think. We deceive ourselves. We live in a make-believe world, most of us. That's how we all live. That's how we get by. Now, John chapter 16. Wonder of all wonders, God's going to do the possible and make possible the impossible. So you're going to ask as a son in the Son. So we, as a son, as we're children of God, in the family of God, sons of God, in the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be because we're in Christ and Christ is in me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I find myself in the middle of God in Christ, and God finds himself in the middle of me in Christ. I have a unique relationship to God. And therefore, how do I have this? In the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show this wonderful grace to the world, this wonderful relationship to the world. The Spirit of God is going to do his thing, the Spirit of truth, in a most wonderful way. And God's going to care and keep and do. And we're to be his witness, his body showing at the head. That's what we do. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing this morning. Otherwise, we're just being going to church. And that's why people don't get much happiness. They don't lose. It's hard. But I'll tell you what, dear friends, if I don't understand and allow Christ to save me, A, trust Christ who is saving me, believe, how am I ever going to, all the stuff I just mumbled out is a bunch of baloney, pie in the sky. No, all right, gone. Come on. This isn't going to go anywhere. I'm going to go back to my job, my work, my thinking. I'm going to do what I do. That doesn't mean anything. You've got to believe. The water's no good out here if I'm dying of thirst. I got to receive it. Otherwise, I don't have it. And I could sit there and I could say, thank you, but I don't have it. If I don't drink it, I don't have it. You see? If you don't believe, you don't have it. So all the wonderful things, and I know it, what we're saying is impossible. Awesome. But we are no more. Christ in the believing heart makes us sons. And in his name, in our unique relationship of which he is the head and we're the body, we have a unique relationship to the Father. And therefore we come to the Father because we're sons. How can we come to the Father in the Son? Because the Son has made us sons, in so that we can come to God in the most awesome way. Therefore, pick over with me, please, and asking the desire of the will. Slide over, if I can, chapter 16, and in verse 23, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So whatever you're going to ask the Father, whatsoever. Now, I'm interested in the little word whatsoever. Now, this is a trick question, make believe. It isn't. What does whatsoever mean to you? If I said to go into the refrigerator and take whatsoever, what does that mean? Limited to shelf number one? No. No, whatsoever means whatsoever. That's what God means. Whatsoever. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Whatsoever. Okay, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know all these things. Verse 13. 14, verse 13. I'll read verse 2. Well, I can't. Verse 13. And whatsoever, there you are, you shall ask. There you are, all the time. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Purpose, that the Father may be glorified. How so? In the Son. We're asking in his name. God is going to continue to be glorified in the body of believers that are left on earth until he comes. Therefore, verse 14, and if you ask, there's your verb, anything in my name, I will do it. In my name, I'll do it. I'll give it to you, you'll receive it. That's pretty clear. No question. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 7. If you ask, if you abide in me, my words abide in you like the branch in the tree. You shall all ask, the Lord, what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We're going to abide. We're going to abide and ask in the Son's name, because that's how we're abiding. Without him, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The end of verse 5, chapter 15:5. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Abide. But you do ask. Whatever you ask. Well, I'm abiding. I'm abiding. If I'm abiding, I'm resting. I'm stay abide. And whatever you're going to ask, the relationship makes possible whatever I'm going to ask in the relationship, God's going to do it. Do what? He's going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're asking in his name, and God's going to do it wonderfully, what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. And, sliding over if I can, the chapter 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, purpose, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask, there's your verb, of the Father, in my name, he'll give it to you. You have it, you're the Son. My father loves, I have a relationship with my Father. Father, whatever I need. To what? To honor the Son. As the Son. Not to honor my will, not to honor what I wish or want. No, God's will. Moment by moment. At any given moment. 20 minutes from now. 20 minutes. What do you control 20 minutes from now? What do you control? Nothing. You haven't even got there. So in the process, God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you in your name. And we're looking for your will. Of what? What will? To represent our Lord Jesus Christ? You're his witnesses, Acts 1:8. That's what you're doing. You're representing the Son. So the Son goes to the grocery store. The Son goes to the bathroom. The Son goes to the kitchen. The Son goes to school. The Son goes to work. The Son in you. And you're what? Being a light in the darkness. And therefore you're showing, we did it in John 16, you're showing God's, the only way to be saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteousness, God provides it in his Son. So that's why you're saved, because it's the right thing to do. God did the right thing in saving you, and you're not condemned, judged, because Christ took your judgment of the cross. And that's what you're going around. You're a saved person. That's what you are. Do you deserve to be? No, but that's what you are. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 John. John again, 1 John. And you will notice, please, and if I may go, I'll pick up in verse 22, 3 and 22 quickly. 1 John 3, 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Sliding over chapter 5, we do them. And sliding over chapter 5, wonderfully, verse 14. This is the confidence, boldness, freedom that we have in him. What is that? That if we ask, there we are, will, asking, anything according to his will. That's what we're looking for. So it isn't anything specific. You may have specific things you're facing, and you bring them to God. You bring them to God. That's where Philippians 4:6, let your request, the word request is this word, ask. Let your request, let your asking. Specifically, God, I'm going to go and face, and they're going to pull out all my teeth. Wow. God, they're your teeth, remember. So, here we go. That's specific. I want God's will. God's will. The dentist had to go on vacation. Wow. Okay, now. So in the process, whatever you ask, verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever, there we keep saying it, whatsoever we ask, there's a verb. We know that we have the petitions, there's the petition, and the word ask, same verb. Ask petitions, same. That we desired of him. Desired, that goes the same. All three words. It'll help you quickly. And what's ask mean? Slide down a petition, slide over to the word desire. You got it. Desired, ask, petitions. That's what you asked. Wow. Whatever we ask, we have it of him. Wow, that's what you have. That's an awesome thing. And God does that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God does that. You ask. So what am I? We're looking for God's will to outwork itself. As best you understand it, you know what you is required to go to work, you know what is required to whatever you have to do tomorrow, tonight, to whatever, and you go and do what you have to do, but you're looking to God to outwork his will, but because you don't know 20 minutes from now, you don't know. So you just keep going and you're looking, and God said, if you ask in my will, you're going to have it. That's the way it is. I didn't ask for my will. I didn't ask for what I wanted or what I wish. No, I want what God wants. I'm trusting God, thanking God, thank God. So therefore, with that in mind, and I hope you got a little bit, it's a unique thing that happened on Pentecost. You went from the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart gave you a relationship you couldn't dream of to the Father as a son, and ask anything in my name and I will outwork, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to outwork my life in your life. That's what I'm going to do. And the life you now have, Galatians 2:20, Christ's life, a wonderful relationship, to eat, to drink, whatever we do, to the glory of God. Therefore, Ephesians, closing. Ephesians 3. I hope you got a little bit. A wonderful thing happened on Pentecost. Awesome thing. Now, are you enjoying the relationship, you see? Oh, I go to church, that's good. That's good. You're a son, even ladies. Son, be one in the Son. I don't have any status, neither do you, but he does. He is the Son of God. That's what the book of Hebrews says we're doing. He's the Son, seated. Remember we did it beginning and the end in Hebrews 1. He's seated, you bet. He's finished. And we're to exercise the finished work of Christ. We're left on earth to fill up that which remains of his grace till he take us home. Ephesians chapter 3. So therefore, our little word ask, desire, whatever you ask in my name. Ephesians 3, and you would guess right, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Ask whatever you want. Ask whatsoever you will. Well, whatsoever is a huge. That's right. Whatsoever. You bet it is. Verse chapter 3, Ephesians, verse 20. You'll have to out ask him. You couldn't think of enough things to ask him. You couldn't enough imagine anything to work out. All that above, I'll read them. You've missed it, probably. Exceeding abundant above all. I don't know how are you going to say it? Exceeding abundant above all. I mean, it's out of your reach. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, God's wonderful grace. So we're simply little ones, traveling down the road of time, trusting God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we do. And we don't do that? Well, we go to church and do all this stuff. Yeah, but you're missing out. We don't want to miss out. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us in every way. And our Father, we're going to thank you and thank you and thank you. You've made something wonderfully possible. You told them what would happen, our God, and it happened. And here we are, God, recipients of what happened. And God, we need to awaken our little head and heart to begin to understand what it means to be saved in a greater way. Wonder of all wonders, the possible becoming impossible, becoming possible, God. The ordinary becoming extraordinary, God. Whatsoever we ask, God, your wonderful outworking according to your will. And our God, we thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them, help us. In Christ's name, amen.